To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is percent.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data,
hits
of brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover brisket.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, let me introduce you to Summerfront, the latest addition to the stallion ranks at Airdrie Stud. Summerfront was an undefeated stakes winner as a two-year-old. All told, he won seven stakes, four graded and placed in eight more, all graded, five grade one, for earnings of more than $1 million. Pedigree, he's by Warfront, certainly one of the, if perhaps the, best son of Danzig in this country, and he's out of Rose of Summer Dam, also of the grade one winner La Rogue, and a daughter of Sire, Sire's El Prado. As for confirmation, suffice it to say that Summerfront was sold for $475,000 at auction as a two-year-old. During his remarkable career, Summerfront was undefeated at two, winning his debut at Belmont and stakes at Aqueduct and Gulfstream. Went on to win seven stakes, graded stakes at Gulfstream, Belmont, Monmouth, and Calder, plus other stakes at Saratoga, with placings in grade one stakes at Belmont, two grade one stakes at Santa Anita, grade one stakes at Arlington, and grade one stakes at Del Mar, and in graded stakes at Keeneland, Belmont, and Hollywood Park. Wherever he ran, he was the horse to beat. While in Kentucky for the sales, drive by Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud to see Summerfront. He entered Stud for $10,000 live foal, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Tam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Materials that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Good morning, everyone, and it's a chilly morning here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris-Lexington Road. And we're over in the HBPA office. You're welcome to stop by. Bring your own beer in a folding chair. And we will be on...
He's not kidding about the beer.
Yeah,
we got a few chairs, but we don't have any beer.
We have a refrigerator all here.
Yeah.
I'm armed with a Dr. Pepper this morning. So, okay, what are we going to do today? Of course, in case you haven't heard, it's a Breeders' Cup Day, so we're going to have Steve Moody, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheets, going to give us the winner of the Classic. And if I know Steve, he will try to find something to beat American Pharoah, because he never bet on a favorite in his life, and I doubt if he stops today. So he's going to come on a little later. Don Combs, our resident Kentucky Derby trainer here at the Thoroughbred Center, will be by, and he's going to – I like to talk to Don because he's almost as old as I am, and we can –
No.
I said almost.
Okay.
Golly, you can't get a word in edgewise around here, can you? And let's see, Michael Braun from Old Friends is going to stop by. He's usually here by this time. And right now, I have with me Victoria Recibo. Is that the way you pronounce your name? Am I right?
Perfect.
I put a little hard boot pronunciation on it there.
A little emphasis on the V, Victoria.
There you go. Did anybody call you Vicky? Was it really?
Yes. When I was good, I was Vicky. When I was bad, it's Victoria.
Oh, of course.
Oh.
That's funny.
Well, we'll call you Vicky.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, she has just done a documentary, I guess we call it, on Our Mims. Our Mims was the champion three-year-old filly in 1977, I believe. She was by Herbage, who stood over.
Or as they say in Paris, Herbager.
We mean Paris, Kentucky, not Paris, France. Yeah. He is French. Yeah. He was imported by Bull Hancock and stood down. He did very well. And out of a mare named Sweet Tooth, I think, who was by On and On, and he was the son of Nazrula, and of course she was bred by Calumet. Ann was, say she won, in addition to the Alabama, she won the coaching club of American Oaks and a bunch of other states and everything. Yes. And you have done a documentary on us.
Yes.
And I want to see it. You're going to give me a copy, I'm sure.
I sure am.
Oh, boy. Oh, hot damn. Oh, it worked. It worked. Let's, yes, it worked.
On air now.
We can sign off now. We'll see you later. We're going home and watch a movie.
I'm committed.
All right. Well, I appreciate you stopping by. We won't keep you long because I know you're waiting to go to the Breeders' Cup.
I can't wait. I can't wait. The town looks absolutely fabulous. The excitement in the air. I'm just so happy for Lexington and for Keeneland, and they've done a great job so far, you know, is what I can see. Wait till I get inside. I know my heart's going to be just pounding to see American Pharoah.
Well,
all the other great horses, you know. It is excitement about American Pharoah, but look at all of the great field in the other races, too. So it's a great day.
Well, Vicky is actress, writer, producer, and director. And why did you want to do this on this particular thing on our MIMS?
Well, I discovered old friends when I was traveling through Kentucky, and I saw a sign on the highway and it said old friends, and I literally did not know what it meant, and I thought it was a retirement facility or something.
It is for Michael.
Well, it is.
It is, but
yeah, for Michael Bloom.
That's right. But the payoff was I kept seeing the signs, and I thought this must be a very important place. So I took the turn, and I went to the little yellow house on the road, and I went in, and then I discovered it was a retirement facility for horses. I never knew such a thing existed. And so Michael and I I met Michael and we started talking, and he showed me around, and I was absolutely amazed that this was happening, that this was, you know, an ongoing facility. And then he said, you know, you look awfully familiar. And I said, well, I used to act and do things in films. He said, that's where I know you. He said, I've reviewed some of your films. So we've struck up a great friendship. We've been friends ever since. But what drove me to discover our MIMS was the fact that Michael, of course, has the stallions.
Uh-huh.
And that's as it should be, you know, these fantastic horses. Game on Due now, and the Zombie, Silver Charm, all of those wonderful horses. But they're the stallions. And I said, well, who's takes care of the brood mares? And was Jeannie Mirabito out in Paris, Kentucky. So I called up and I said, could I come visit? Because now I was on a crusade. I wanted to meet all these wonderful horses. So I went out to Jeannie's farm and I met all these wonderful ladies. And I just fell in love with the ambience and the serenity of the farm, that you could actually walk out into the pasture with all of the mares, mm-hmm. whereas you cannot do that with the stallions. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot walk in a field of 8 stallions. I mean, my goodness. So I said, I want to do a little documentary about this place, because it's the mares don't get as much attention as the stallions. You know, they're not the stars that draw as many crowds. But of course, our MIMS was a great filly mare and champion, and of course there are and have been many wonderful. Elmhurst, her grandson, mm-hmm. is the 1997, Breeders' Cup
sprint.
Sprint champion, and so he's there. And then a lot of the ladies are stakes winners and producing stakes winners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, this is a way to show the other side. And her story is a phenomenal story, true story, that she was a teenager and saw this race on television.
You mean Jeannie?
Jeannie.
Okay, not Jeannie, the mayor.
Not our miss. Yeah,
okay.
So they're smart, but not that smart. And Jeannie saw this race, and she saw our MIMS running, and she said, wow, I love that horse. She said, someday I want to own that horse, being a teenager.
Of course.
Kid, yeah. You know, all girls love horses.
Of course.
And her brothers chided her, and they said, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I bet you're going to own the horse. You're going to own the farm, too. Speaking of Calumet Farm.
Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, I'm going to own that horse. I'm going to own the horse, and I'm going to own the farm. 21 years later. 5 states later, she and her husband teaches at the University of Kentucky, they move to Kentucky, and she gets a part-time job working on a farm, and she's out in the back field, and this horse comes thundering towards her, rears up, and comes down, breaks the fence post behind her head, and she's truly thinking, this is the end, this is it, the horse is going to kill me, and she asks the co-worker, she said, who is that? And the co-worker says, oh, that's our MIMS.
Wow.
21 years later, Ursel, from that cosmic claim that she made when she was a teenager, she happens to be in the field that our MIMS is. And so it was destiny. And from there, she worked to, she saw that, you know, our MIMS was a little underweight. She had a couple of births. She was a little neglected. She thought, this is my horse. This was my dream. And she worked to get her adopted. And when Calumet found out where our MIMS was and Three Chimneys found out where she was, they both put in to adopt her. And Jeannie also put in to adopt her. Well, now you can imagine I'm up against Calumet.
Yeah,
I'm up against Three Chimneys.
Right.
She thought, I don't have a prayer. But on the application, there was a question. It said, intended use of this horse. And she wrote, worship.
Oh, cute. Oh, that's
she
perfect.
Got the horse.
That's perfect. That's
perfect.
That
so
is
she,
perfect.
So she trundles home with our MIMS, and she didn't even have a manure spreader. And so she worked hard to give her a home and a forever home. And so then from our MIMS, she realized she had the talent, she had the sensibility to take care of horses and nurture them and know how to treat them, the broodmares. And so then she founded our MIMS Retirement Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's now just for broodmares, except for Elmo. And it's
who's Elmo?
Elmhurst. Elmhurst, Mr. Elmhurst.
Oh, is he there too?
He's there too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the grandson.
That's her grandson.
And he's a grandson. Yeah.
Yeah. Out
so,
of a daughter.
And so it continues. So that's a wonderful.
That's a great story.
And it's a totally true story. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
Well, let me get back to you. How did you get interested in horses?
I've always loved horses. I just.
Where are you from originally?
New York City. And that's
oh, like, where else? You
well,
know,
that's the problem. The only horses you see are the horses you see on the police riding horses.
You are you very familiar with them?
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. Good one, Ursel. Come visit New York.
Oh, I'll pass.
Oh.
I've been there once.
I've been. Oh, well,
I didn't think I'd ever going to get out, but go ahead.
You've got to come more than that.
Foreign country, isn't it?
No, well, yes, in many countries. I loved horses, and I know in being in New York, I could never have a horse. And
was your family interested in horses?
No, not at all. No, yeah. I used to watch the Saturday morning westerns, which are still on, and I would get out the old hamper.
She went from watching them to playing in them.
See,
yeah.
That's wild. That's
it. If I get out the old hamper. And when the show would come on, I would take a bunch of pillows and I'd imitate. I would throw the pillows up over
cute.
The hamper. We had a backyard and you know, we put up, you run the line from window to window in New York. You've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
Like Italy, the laundry is hanging from window across the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
I took the courtyard line, the laundry line, and I would throw it over and make a cinch.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and
funny.
I would then hop on the hamper, and whenever they rode, I would ride.
Must have been hill on laundry.
That's
And so I wanted a horse so badly, and then, of course, I never did get to have a horse. But then as my career developed, and I went out to California, and I did all these wonderful shows, films, and television.
Now, the pictures you were showing me, some of them, one of them was with Charlton Heston.
Yes.
And that was The Mountain Man.
The Mountain Man. Right.
Okay.
We got to get that.
Columbia Pictures,
yeah.
And, of course, I rode horses. And almost all of my films, I was very cast a lot as a Native American Indian. My mother is part Indian on her side, very, very small part Lenape Indian from Delaware.
You still going to Warpath a little bit?
Oh,
it's going to with you.
Forevermore.
If you don't stop that smart mouth.
Will that be another name of a horse? Warpath, that would be a good name too.
Oh, surely there's been a whole one name
there. I'll take first dibs.
Okay.
There you go.
Go out there and buy one of these war fronts.
Well,
you know,
why not?
Man.
Sure, just a little here. So I got the opportunity. The funniest part is I got paid to have and ride a horse.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the wonderful thing. And a lot of my films and television shows, I was around or in or with a horse. And there was one funny show. This is a funny story. There was a show. Remember Roots? Of course, you remember Roots.
Oh yeah,
of course. Well, the producer of that's David Wolper, very, very wonderful, classy producer. Well, he produced Roots. He produced Thornbirds. He also produced a miniseries that I had the lead in called The Mystic Warrior. And we're out, way out in the valley in California. And I had the lead role, and I had a beautiful white horse. And for that day, I just did not want to ride the horse because they had created the original kind of saddle, which was made of wood. A block saddle, and it was really painful to ride. So I said, today I'm not going to ride. I just didn't want to get on this horse. So I thought it was a simple shot that we would just walk, go maybe, 50 feet, cut, go back, do it again. Well, it turned out that the shot was the opening shot of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to walk forever in the valley, and I was literally wearing moccasins, walk a mile in your moccasins.
Right.
Two takes. I said, I can't believe, I wish I had decided to ride, because walking over all the sand and the rocks and the cactus and all this was murder.
Yeah.
I would have rather ridden the horse than walk.
Even with a wooden saddle. Well, what are you doing these days other than
Well, I've been here at the festival week, of course, to come to the Breeders' Cup. But the festival week heard about the premiere, which we had of the film 2 weeks ago at Equus Run Vineyards. And they invited me to show the film downtown at the Jumbotron at Cheapside Pavilion. So I came here for that. And now people are wanting the DVDs. We're just getting so many requests. So we've got to get back to New York and get the master done and then make the DVDs. I'm about to start a new project that I'm very superstitious. I think you probably know in show business you don't want to talk about it until you sign on the dotted line, but I have another project in the works.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
So, staying busy.
And the film is.
Does it involve Kentucky? Or?
No, but it might. It might if I can sway them a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It might. But the film is going to be in the Equus Film Festival in New York City in November, November 20th to the 22nd.
Oh, that's fun.
We've been invited for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah. So people will get to learn that the film is a little over an hour. So it's a real full-length, feature-length documentary. Mm-hmm. And it really gives you the backstory. We've got Jorge Velasquez, who wrote Aladar and our Mims, and Barbara Livingston, the wonderful photographer.
Oh, she is. She's the best.
Sweetheart.
She's fantastic. Yeah. She's in the film with her photos. And Steve Haskin is in.
Old Daily Racing Form.
That's right. He saw our Mims race. And Penny Chenery, the First Lady of Racing, had actually visited our Mims out at the Haven twice.
Penny has.
Uh-huh. And I have photos of her with our Mims. Uh-huh. And then, of course, I have a live interview with Penny in the film. So it's covered the bases and a beautiful archival footage from Naira, which lent me gave me permission to use. And it's just a wonderful, it gives you the history, it gives you a sense of the time and place of the golden era of racing, which is the 70s. I learned so much about the 70s.
Have you checked into the Keeneland Library yet? Have you been
That's
there?
Where I started.
Okay.
That's where I started.
Yeah.
Betsy Baxter, Miss Binky, they all gave me access to these incredible pieces of documents, and microfiche and microfilm, things that haven't been transferred. You should see me. I had opened the big books and I would stand on a chair and stand over and photograph everything. And they gave me access for 2 days. I spent there from 9 to 5.
Wow.
So I started at the Keeneland Library, which is a phenomenal place.
Isn't it? Wonderful,
it's
wonderful
gorgeous.
Facility.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
I wish more people would go there. And I know a lot of people do, but to be aware of this place.
These shows, Ursel's shows, are on file at they're archived.
Wonderful.
Because, Nick. Nick.
Nicholson.
Was president. He said he wanted to look back 50 years and see what it was. Because Ursel interviews people you're as close to a celebrity as we get. You are a celebrity, but mostly he interviews riders and jockeys and, kids that aren't.
I like the old timers,
Yes.
You know, they can get on there and lie.
I love it.
I see. You know, that's it. Well, that's like, I've been around so long, you know, and I'm so old that I can just sit here and just lie like a dog. Oh. Nobody knows the difference because I've buried all my contemporaries.
<laughs> <laughs> <You know? laughs> No, I love that. I love listening to the, I think that history is so important. That lineage and that legacy and to enjoy. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
This is your first Breeders' Cup?
No, it's my second. The first was the one that shall not be named, the one that met Ms. Zenyatta, missed by a whisker.
Well, I'm a Blame fan.
Are you?
Yeah. You see Claiborne Farm on here?
Yeah, wait a minute. My next commercial is for Claiborne Farm.
Okay. All right. Hands up.
All righty. Well, I better get doing it, too, because I'm running late, you know. But you have to catch a bus, or what's the story with you now?
Yeah, we're going to go over and catch the shuttle from Kentucky Horse
Park. Where are you catching it from?
Kentucky Horse Park.
Oh, the Horse Park.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great place?
Oh, it's lovely. Lovely. Yeah. By the way, Bill Cook is responsible for, he was the second place I went after the Keenan Library. He helped me get these wonderful photographs of the trophies, MIMS trophies.
Uh-huh.
He brought in a photographer and did special photography of those trophies. So I have them all in the
film. That's wow. Nice. All
that's a, quite a collection of trophies.
Beautiful,
isn't it?
The Calumet.
Yeah. Have you been to the farm?
Which one?
The Calumet.
Oh, yes, in the film. Oh, my goodness. Through the cemetery, the Aladar, and Bully, and the...
Isn't that something? You're talking about history walking through there.
Sugar and Spice, the whole family. Yeah. That whole side is on the right side there in the cemetery.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats is buried there. Citation.
Gives you that, right, Whirl Away.
Well, I wouldn't call him great, but he was very good.
Ursula was always in a thing about what is great, Man of War. And then from there, you have to argue with him if you want to get in the great category. Well, no, he went to Man of War's funeral.
Really?
Yeah, first funeral I ever attended.
Wow.
I guess mine will be the last.
In Bill's office, there are the photographs step by step of that moment.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful black and white.
They broadcast that nationally on radio, and I have a recording of it.
Wow.
Yeah, I've played it several times on the show.
Yeah.
Dr. McGee, who was a Man of War's veterinarian, is still alive.
Wow.
He's 100 and what is he?
I don't know. He lives in Florida now. I used to work for him.
Can you have him on the show via phone, via telephone to talk?
I don't know. At that age,
I don't know.
I don't know. I can do it. Yeah.
Try it. Yeah.
I hate it, though. I like to look.
Yeah, I know. One-on-one.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But
yeah.
But that is really history.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He's a nice guy. Nice man.
He really is.
I was farm secretary. They had Winton Farm, he and his son. I was farm secretary out there for a while, till they couldn't stand me anymore.
Oh.
And then
I had to marry you in order to get her out of there. That's where they bribed me.
Yeah. He spent the money on his girlfriend. Oh, no, they bribed you. Yeah.
They bribed him.
Him.
All righty. Well, listen, I appreciate you stopping in.
Oh, I thank you so much.
And when you're coming back, we'll come on back.
Thank you. I'll come back as soon as I can. I just love it here. I really do.
Yeah, stop in.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Ursula. Thank you.
Oh, here comes our HBPA man. Well, he's waving goodbye.
Oh, scared him off. Right.
Well, not goodbye. It's just so long.
So
there
long.
You go.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm going to do some commercials.
All right.
Well, Monday at Keeneland Claiborne Farm, agent is a consignment worthy of your attention. Go to Barn 6 where you will find Hip 26 is Chuckling and Fold a Paintner. Chuckling is by Indian Charlie out of Pleasant Home, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff, and over $1,378,000. 142 On Parade and Fold a Warfront. This is the dam of graded stakes winner Parading. She's by Stormcat out of My Flag. Hip number 164, Return to Paradise and Fold a Spritestown. Return to Paradise is a stakes winner and stakes class producer. Hip 192 Snooze and Fold a Kitten's Joy. Snooze is a half-sister to the Grade 1 stakes winner in Millionaire Imaging. Hip number 226, Unbound, is in Fold 2, Tis Now. Unbound is a stakes-winning daughter of Distorted Humor. 187 is a weanling colt by Declaration of War. That's his first crop out of a winning daughter of a champion. Hip number 228 is a weanling filly by Union Rags. She's a half-sister to a Grade 2 stakes winner. 216 is Sweet Whiskey. Love the name. Won a place in 6 Grade of Stakes and earned over $500,000. She's a racing of breeding prospects. There are also 3 young breeding prospects. Hip number 61 is a daughter of Medaglia Doro out of a stakes winner. Hip number 68 is a daughter of Street Cry out of a stakes-winning AP Indy mare. And hip number 143, a half-sister by Bernardini to the greatest stakes winner of criminologists. Once again, they're in barn 6. And the consignment, Claiborne Farm agent. Claiborne Farm, a longtime leader in the thoroughbred industry. Hopewell Insurance is founded on November the 1st, 1955.
I was a child.
I'm not going to touch that line. They've been in business for 60 years.
So they're doing something right.
They were fairly newcomers, yeah. You know. But in, that's Joe McLean and Ted McLean. Ted and Jody, of course, McLean. And Ted is used to, he was an assistant to Lucien Lauren when Secretariat was racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as you said, they have to be doing something right to be in business that long. And when we first moved to Paris in Bourbon County, it was 1998?
I don't know. It's been about 30 years. I can't
1988.
Remember. I can't subtract anymore. I can add, but I can't subtract.
Well, I'll put my old Russell Cave School math to do it, and I think it's 32 years ago. Anyway, we asked around who we should do our insurance with. We'd lived in Fayette County, had a farm over on Bethel Road. And they said everybody recommended the Hopewell Insurance Company, and we've been doing business with them ever since. We insure everything with them, and they're just great people to do business with, and they cover everything for us, a house, cars, barns, farm equipment, liability, tractor, you name it, they do it. And that's the Hopewell Company, Joe or Ted. Our Jody McLean, it's 859-987-2347, or you can stop by the office at 820 Main Street over in Paris, Kentucky, Gay Perry, and they guarantee you that they do a great job for you. Wonderful people to do business with. All right, well, Include Betty has won the 215 Classic Grade 1 Mother Goose. She is hip number 253 at Keeneland and is the dam of Include Betty, and she's in fold a proud citizen. Proud citizen, of course, the side 2 winners of the Classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. She's consigned by Indian Creek. She sells Tuesday, November 3, and she is in barn 11. With her, you will find a half-sister to New Bay, winner of this year's Classic French Derby. She's in fold to Exchange Rate. And a half-sister by Medaglia Doro to the Grade 2 winner, Promenade Girl, Damica Vording, a Grade 1 winner this year. She is in fold to Spitestown. Then there are weanling fillies by the leading sires, Curlin and Medaglia Doro, both from running families. It's a great consignment. More to come on Thursday. Indian Creek is offering weanlings by the fillies by the Factor, Midnight Loot, Bodemaster, Tail of the Cat. Of course, had a winner out at Breeders' Cup winner yesterday. Another one. And Algorithms. Mares in fold to Lemon Drop Kid, Union Rags, and Blame. The latter a half-sister to Include Betty. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, she won the Grade 1 Mother Goose Stakes. And her dam is being sold as hip number 253. And this particular one is a racing or breeding prospect that's a stakes winner and graded place to earn over $304,000. There are 2 young broodmare prospects, one a stakes place daughter, Tappet, the other a stakes winner and graded stakes place winner of over $557,000. You'll find Indian Creek's Thursday consignment in barn 37. Indian Creek has a great reputation for raising, selling world-class thoroughbreds, and their 2015 consignment lives up to that standard. Indian Creek at Keeneland.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right, Jackie, you want to do something for us?
Yes, I want to say something real quick about my buddies over at Eve's Hardware in Paris. See, Ursa can't find his way in the dark.
Well, who in the hell can?
Well, that's true. But he has to go down at night. Now that it's getting dark, he has to go down at night to the barn. He has to go down to the barn in the morning, blah, 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 blah. And he's been cussing and swearing something fierce, all that those Navy words, and because he didn't have a good flashlight. And I went over to Eads yesterday, and they pulled one up. They said, here, this does this, that, and the other thing. And they're wonderful people. And I just wanted to say thanks, because I go over there all the time. And, like, for instance, I got an Easy Start chainsaw. They're so helpful. I couldn't get it started because I flooded it. I went back over there and carried it over, and they said, okay, we'll start it. You know, and they start stuff for you and everything. Anyway, it's on 460. When you're on the bypass, 460 goes one way to Georgetown and the other way into Paris, and it's right there. And I just wanted to thank them because they're so nice about finding what you need and helping you in chunks. So,
yeah.
And it's a fun hardware store. It's hard to get out of there. You walk around and look at all the stuff, you know. It's like an old Woolworths, only it's hardware. So
you want to do some of your whatchamacallit?
Right. We got the jockey school out there. That's what we call the North American Racing Academy. And we had one of the kids on last week, and they're great. It's a 2-year program. It is connected with the University of Kentucky school. Let's see, LCBTSXYZ. No, it's Kentucky College Technical CS. I don't know what all those letters mean, but it's great. You ought to come out here if you're interested in horses. They have training positions for riding, for exercise riding, for being a jockey, or working with horses on the ground. Okay, Gary Bush, our neighbor, has been named the Ted Bates Farm Manager of the Year. He's the manager of Denali. Really nice guy. I don't know him all that well, except that he is at the farm managers, you know. So, okay, let's see. Adina Stallions is having an open house during the sale Saturday, November 7th and Sunday, November 8th from 10 until 2. Don't need an appointment. Just go check out the horses and they'll feed you. Also, Spendthrift is having an open house during the Fasig, Tipton, and Keeneland November sales starting tomorrow, running through Friday the 13th. Do you know Friday is the 13th next month? Ooh.
Excuse to stay in bed.
There you go. Anyway, it's from 1 to 3, and lunch is served at Spendthrift. Now, wonder why this one's in here. I don't know why that paper's in here. I don't know why. Oh, wait a minute.
I like to have Victoria on there. I didn't have to say much.
Oh, she was nice, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's a nice lady.
And good night, nurse. She was stunning.
Yeah.
In those pictures when she was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Still looks good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, boy, oh, boy. No wonder she had parts in movies.
Yeah.
Dang. I mean, she looked great.
Don Combs, if you listen, come on down whenever you can.
Okay, November 7th and 8th at Lakeside Arena, Kentucky. It's a Hunter Jumper show. If you're interested and you need more information other than just pulling up, Lakeside, of course, is down at the exit where you can go one way to Frankfort and one way to Versailles.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can call Bruce Brown, 873-9155.
I better catch up on some of his commercials.
Okay, go ahead.
Ran a little late with Victoria there yesterday. Well, yesterday at Keeneland, the grade 2 $200,000 marathon stakes, going a mile and 3/4, incidentally, was won by Bailout Bobby. And Bailout Bobby is a 5-year-old son of Miz and Massey, won by 5 1/4 lengths. And he was bred by Kirk and Debbie Wyckoff. Mile and 3/4. Those things can win from 5 furlongs to a mile and 3/4, a mizzen mass. And of course, he's sired the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. He has 2 starters in Breeders' Cup events this year. He's also sired 7 grade 1 winners. So keep that in mind when you see a weanling or a maring foal to the cover of a mizzen mass and of the sales ring at the upcoming sales. Then when you see a weanling or a maring foal to first defense, remember that he's sired an Eclipse Award winner, an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop, no less. And since then, a steady procession of stakes winners every year. Now, Mizzen Mass and first defense both stand at Judmon Farm. Mizzen Mass offers an outstanding outcost to Northern Dancer, Mr. Prospector, and Bull Ruler Lion Mares. That's hard to find these days, and a whole lot of breeders are taking advantage of the fact. First defense is by Unbridled Song out of Honest Lady. She's a grade 1 stakes winner. She's by the Great Seattle Slough And she's a half-sister to the classic winner and superior sire, Empire Maker. Empire Maker, sire of Pioneer of the Nile, sire of American Pharaoh, has returned to Kentucky by popular demand. The first defense, a grade one winner and a grade one sire has a grade one sire record as well. For more on the Dudmont Stallions, call Garrett O'Rourke and Fried, 859-272-7629. Take a look at the website. That's DudmontFarm.com.
Everybody in the horse business knows about Sally Van Service. They've been in the business for more than six decades. Number of breeding trips made runs into the millions, and many of the finest thoroughbreds in the world have enjoyed a safe trip on a Sally Van. But did you know they can also service your diesel at Sally Vans, or for that matter, take care of your trailer too? Just give them a call, 859-255-9406. They're conveniently located in Lexington. And when it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally Van is in tip-top condition, and person behind the wheel is an experienced driver, an experienced horseman. And that's why, for over 60 years, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, the first sold by overanalyzer are weanlings. So be sure to take a look over at the upcoming breeding stock sales. He covered 151 mares in his first season at stud, booked full again this year. So he's got a lot going for him, been very popular. A terrific two-year-old overanalyzed, broke his maiden at Saratoga, going five furlongs, then went on to win the grade two Futurity at six furlongs and the grade two Remsen, going a mile and an eighth. At three, he won the grade $1 million Arkansas Derby, besting, among others, that year's Preakness winner. And at career's end, he had accumulated earnings of more than $1,046,000. Overanalyzed by Dixie Union, sire also of Union Rags, who, like overanalyzed, entered stud in 2015. Both are grade one winners, both are millionaires, and both are from superior black type female families. Overanalyzed entered stud for $10,000 doing a full stanza nurses. Union Rags, $35,000. So take a good look at Overanalyzer's first crop weanlings. Then visit Windstar Farm to inspect Overanalyzer and the other stands. Just give Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel or Carolyn Waltz a call at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
And why a new generation is using APR Online.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursel Ellis.
All right, well, I've got Michael Blowing on the phone. He's so busy these days, he just doesn't have time for us peons.
Counting that money.
I'm having fun unloading the beer off the back of the truck.
Oh, well, for God's sakes, come over here and I'll help you.
I'm going to save you a six-pack. I'm going to skim a six-pack of Sam Adams beer.
Oh, wow. I bet it isn't Sam Adams.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it really?
Wow.
Is this for tomorrow?
We're only going premium. Premium, yes.
No, okay. All right. Very good. Well,
at our big party tomorrow, just to give you an example of how different things are, first of all, we've had to hire two policemen to handle the traffic.
Good Lord.
The other thing is that's so amazing is that, you know, when we do our homecoming the day after the Kentucky Derby, usually we get between 175 and 250 people. And with like a week to go, we have like maybe 25 to 30 prepaid reservations. And we already have more than 300 prepaid reservations.
Mm.
Yeah, I heard they were emptying the prisons.
Really, I should. They can come over here and help us out.
There you go.
Great. This will be great. Well, I went to the races yesterday. That was fun.
Great racing.
Yes, great racing. Not only that, I have to say that Keeneland really should be commended. It was the largest Friday crowd in Breeders' Cup history.
Really?
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They said it didn't seem that crowd at the crowd.
What I mean. You could bet with several minutes to go to post. They had enough clerks. They moved people around. I think those structures, the chalets and things, it was really made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sure worked at it hard, that's for sure.
They did a great job. I mean, you could walk around and meet people. I mean, it was really, really, really amazing. I just thought it was going to be crazy, and
Were you in a chalet or were you in the grandstand or what?
I was all over the place.
Oh, that figures. What'd you do, go around stealing people's passes and putting them on or something?
Of course I was.
There you
well,
go.
Well, actually, I have to say, just for the record, they gave them to me because some of them, there's like two or three people in the world that haven't heard my boring story.
Uh-huh.
So
you got to find them. Right.
Brent Musburger was at the next table.
Yeah.
The sportscaster. He was nice.
Did you go put the touch on him?
Yes, I gave him a magazine. I gave him our Breeders' Cup program with all of our Breeders' Cup horses on it. It was really nice. Well, I met some guys from Chile. They're in racing in Chile, and we have a horse named Porfido here, and they all knew who Porfido was, and he'd won some grade ones or group ones down there. So that was nice. And then this week, on Thursday, we had the biggest day we've ever had in the history of Old Friends in terms of donations and visitors. We had over 800 visitors.
Wow, that's great.
And the most we ever grossed in a day, counting the gift shop and donations, was $2,100, I think.
Wow.
And we did over $6,000 in that one
day.
Whoa. Golly.
And the people from the Japanese Racing Association were here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been really, really amazing. I mean, if everybody can still walk tomorrow, we'll be fine.
Exactly. Well, good for you, Michael. That's
wonderful.
But it's
been good. No, yeah. What a team we've got. You know, Barbara Fawson and Sylvia and everybody have been working the office. And, of course, Diane, the unsung hero in all this.
Bless her heart, yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't left me as far as I know. And I haven't checked. I should check this morning just to make sure.
Yeah. What time does your party start tomorrow?
1 o'clock. You can come between noon and one. And West Six has provided us with some beer, too, besides the Sam Adams.
Uh-huh.
And that's really nice. And Red Brand Fence, Mark Otto's company, is sponsoring it. So that's nice.
Great, yeah.
How late does this run?
It runs until 4 to 5.
Ah, okay, good.
Mm-hmm. 4 to 5?
It starts at 1.
We can go to 4 or 5.
They're going to start shuffling people out between 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good luck at that.
We should have enough. I'm hoping that it's... You know, they're going to say, yeah, we had a great time at Ken. We went to that stupid party. We couldn't get a parking place.
Well, there's always shuttles.
There you go, yeah.
But Wayne Lucas is going to try and come. The Bafferts are coming. Jill Baffert says she's definitely coming.
Good.
Craig Perrette, Jean Cougay, a lot of... Mike Smith said he's going to try and come, as did Victor... Victor Espinosa. So...
Well, I hope Lucas can make it. He's going to make an appearance on TVG, too.
Yeah, good. He's doing good.
That's today. He will be there. Yeah. I think he's terrific.
Yeah, yeah. So that should be. And Richard Migliori said he's coming. It'd just be nice to have these guys around to tell stories, you know?
Yeah.
Man, you can get your selfie.
Clark, you know, your guests for the... Yes, we will. You know, Robert Clark, who was on talking about his book and his paintings a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's coming, and he is going to paint during the party. He's going to paint the winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and we're going to auction it off.
Wow. Wow. That's nice.
That's nice. And we have some people here that are going to be signing their books, including Bob. Gary West has done a marvelous book on jockeys, and he's going to come and sign his book. So it's going to be there's going to be a lot of things for people to do, including, you know, seeing these great champions, Silver Charm and Game On Dude. Alphabet Soup and War Emblem are still in quarantine, but there'll be enough for people to see and do.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah,
as usual, I'm running behind on my commercials.
Oh, my
God. Well, first of all, I promise to see you next week. Not that it's anything to look forward to, but I promise I'll show up in person next week with a six-pack of Sam Adams and a half a dozen donuts.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I'll drink the beer and Ressie can have the donuts.
The food of the gods.
That'll be great.
All right, Michael. Well, good luck tomorrow. Good luck today. And I'm sure you're going out.
Yeah, it should be really a great day of racing today. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, my friend.
Ursel, thanks a lot, buddy.
All righty. It's been Michael Blown from Old Friends. Well, of course, this is Breeders' Cup weekend, and good luck to all participants. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, beating a select field, getting a distance in a brilliant 1:33.2. That'll win a lot of races. That same year, he set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar, and he went on to win the Grade 1 Donna Handicap at Gulfstream. He placed in three more graded stakes, the Grade 1 Goodwood, and retiring with earnings of more than $1,328,000. Now, his first foals to race are two-year-olds. He's sired a stakes winner and another that has placed in a graded stakes already, so he's off to a solid start at stud. To breed to Albertus Maximus, call station manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585, and be sure to ask about breeding incentives to the Shadwell Stallions. Albertus Maximus, Grade 1 winner and proven sire, graded sire De Hare by Awesome Again, and to the graded winner and brilliantly fast Into Dab, sire of graded stakes winners and a terrific source of speed. Once again, Kent's number is 859-224-4585, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Quill and Leather and Tack, world's greatest tack shop. Wonderful. Is in Paris, Kentucky. They are the nation's largest custom halter shop. Quality service and leather goods since 1982. They make everything. They ship out 22,000 halters a year. And they're not just for racehorses. You want to get a really good halter. I don't care if you've got a pony that you trail ride. A nice halter, they're easy to keep clean, and they look like you know what you're doing. Junky halters look like you don't. So, they got all kind. They got double buckles. They got yearling sale and show bridles, adjustable chins. I'll tell you, when you go out to these sales next week, you're looking over and over and over. You're looking at Quillen halters on these horses that are for sale. Also, Christmas is coming up. You can get a leash with a loop end and a scissor snap. You can get rolled collars for dogs and cats, and you can get flat ones, and of course you get name tags on them, so if your little puppy whoopee gets lost out in the street, it'll have your name and phone number on it. And got to go to the gift shop. It's a wonderful gift shop to find something, and they've got, wait a minute, they got jingle bells, sleigh bells for Christmas. That's too fun. Okay. Go to Quillen, Quillin.com, or go to Facebook/Quillen Leather. It's, you can't do any better, Quillen Leather and Tech.
All right. Well, yesterday at Keenan, the Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup Distaff was won by Stop Charging Maria. It's a 4-year-old filly by Taylor the Cat, bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. She's won $2,924,000. Taylor the Cat, of course, began his career as a leading freshman sire, kept right on rolling. In stakes last weekend, Scad Daddy, the nation's leading sire on the juvenile sire list, was represented by his 8th 2-year-old stakes winner, when Super Surprise, a $300,000 graduate of the OBS April sale, bred by Pat Pavlish, won the $250,000 Sleepy Hollow Stakes. We've been around for a long time. We can't recall another sire with that many 2-year-old stakes winners in a single year. 8 of them. Right on his heels, though, is his stablemate at Ashford Stud, Uncle Mo. He's got 5. His 5th was Forever Mo, who shipped in from Churchill to take the $200,000 Jean Lafitte Stakes at Delta Downs Saturday. Forever Mo was bred by Ocala Stud, sold at the OBS April sale for $420,000. Uncle Mo is the nation's #1 ranked freshman sire. Not to be outdone by the Ashford sire, the Ashford sire Munnings, whose arm won the $200,000 Twilight Derby at Santa Anita that same day. Handed American Fayho his only defeat prior to the Triple Crown, won the Grade 2 Del Mar Derby in his previous start. Mom was bred by Lavin Bloodstock, Bernie Sams, and Will Ferris Jr. Sold for $125,000 at the Barrett's March sale. He's one of 11 2015 stakes winners by Munnings, the leading second crop sire. Taylor the Krat, Scat Daddy, Uncle Mole, Munnings, sire grade one stakes winners here this year, all four of them. For more on the stallions at Ashford Stud, where standing champion sires is a tradition, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All right, Jackie.
Okay, I'm sitting here looking at what's going on at the horse park. You know, there's so much going on. The National Horse Show, the biggest horse show for a gazillion years, oldest horse show in the United States, is now in Lexington. I think the second or third year. It's out at Alltech Arena. It's there for two more days, today and tomorrow. This is the home of the McClay National Championship. It's got Hunter Divisions, junior and amateur owner jumpers, top open jumpers from the United States and around the world. It's consistently ranked as one of the top shows in the United States by North American Riders Group, and last year was voted Horse Show of the Year by the National Show Hunter Hall of Fame. Sunday morning, the winner of the ASPCA McClay Horsemanship Class will be crowned. Sunday afternoon, they're going to have an exhibit. The Clydesdales are here, the Budweiser Clydesdale. At 2 o'clock tomorrow, the $250,000 Longines FEI World Cup jumping Lexington. Olympic gold medalists and equestrians from around the world compete for top honors in this thrilling competition. It's a great horse show. If you don't have tickets to the Breeders' Cup, that's the next best place to go. And not only that, they're going to have cameras up at the horse park, so showing the racing from Keeneland. Wow. So, next week, November 5th through the 8th, United States Dressage Finals. That's the United States Dressage Federation. If you want more information, go to usdf.org. Let's see as I move along. Third annual sporting art auction. Oh, this is a beaut. Featuring fine sporting art, American paintings and sculpture. November the 18th at the Keeneland Sales Pavilion. They've got John Frederick Herring Sr. Painting from about 1820, I think it was. 1823. It's beautiful stuff. It's absolutely gorgeous. Need to go out there and just watch, if nothing else.
Excuse me. I just about dropped my
Today, too. Oh, if you don't want to go out there to bet, out to Keeneland to bet, you can bet the Breeders' Cup right here at the training center.
Uh-huh.
And while you're here at the training center, you can pick up all the planks and fence posts you want to finish your fences for the winter.
Yeah.
They've painted 3/4 of us, and then it got wet. So yeah,
they're coming back to finish up this week.
An unbelievable job. It looks gorgeous.
They put enough, I tell you what, the heavy paint coat on that, you know. There's so much paint on there, you know, they'd probably keep the fences up. You know?
Something will have to. It's like, if it's like glue, it might keep the fences up.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they do a great job.
The farm's getting smaller.
Yeah.
That's right. It's 253-1853, by the way. 293-1853. Gee whiz, I said that wrong. 293-1853. It's the Thoroughbred Center. And also, tomorrow, this is another biggie. I would want to go to three things tomorrow, and I can't. Okay. This is the Hunter Pace that Masterson Equestrian Trust puts on at Masterson Station Park. It's from 10 till 3. Pace divisions for jumping, non-jumping, and trail riders. This is the kind of stuff you want to go to. Low-key, lots of fun. fun for all types of riders. It's like a fox hunt, slower than a fox hunt, without the hounds. Competitors ride in teams of 2, 3, or 4. No need to pre-enter. Registration opens at 9 o'clock. It's just a nice thing to do, a lot of fun.
Well, October 25 at Woodbine, the $150,000 Fanfreluche Stakes was won by Tis Imaginary, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tisway. Tis Imaginary is 2 for 2. She won her debut on October 4 at Woodbine by nearly 3 lengths. Serving notice, she was a good one. In the Fanfreluche, she broke it early, forced the early pace, and drew away to win by widening 2 lengths at the direct expense of Holy Flame, a daughter puppet, with the street boss filly Get Rhythm finishing third. Tis Imaginary is the second stakes winner from Tisway's first crop. His Away We Go has won the Jamestown Stakes at Laurel. And Tis a Runner, never out of the money in 4 starts, is placed in 3 stakes at Woodbine, the Grade 3 Gray Stakes, the Swinford, and the Colin Stakes. Tisway ran one of the fastest dirt miles in the history of the Grade 1 Metropolitan, 1:32.4. Also won the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational and the Grade 2 Kelso, and he earned more than $1,359,000. A son of the great Tiz now. He stands for $10,000 doing a full stands and nurses, and he's eligible for Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program. So call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. Well, I want to talk about our Lubricin, and yesterday, Lubricin and Reborn, 2 products that was developed by Dr. Steve Allday, and both of them endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural and test-free. Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid that helps reduce costs of acid injections and so forth like that. As a matter of fact, stopped charging Maria when the $2 million Grade 1 Breeders' Cup distaff yesterday was trained by Todd Pletcher, and Todd uses Lubricin for his horses and has for many years. So there's a good endorsement for it. But, you know, he's not the only trainer to use it. You know, Tony Detrow, Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, they all use Lubricin. I use it. They make it for humans, and I use it. And it helps old codgers like me. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use. It also is test-free. And what it does, it strengthens the immune system, and it supports the immune functions in horses of all ages. Provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. And starting with foals, you put it on a mare, and it really helps with the mare. So here's how you find out more about this product. Lubricin is Lubricyn.com. And Reborn, Reborne.com, or you can buy it at Old Friends or KBC here in Lexington, the Horse Sense down in for sales. 2 great products, incidentally. Well, Alternation, Broken Vow and Cowboy Cal stand at Pin Oak Stud. Watch free weanlings and buy and mares and foal to them at the November sales. All 3 got a whole lot to recommend them. The first foals by Alternation are weanlings. He's siring superb individuals, just much like himself. He won multiple graded stakes, earned over $1 million. He's by champion side Distorted Humor. He's from the same female family as his stablemate, Broken Vow. Broken Vow has sired some 120 stakes horses, 61 stakes winners, multiple grade 1 winners. And he's the broodmare sire Run Happy, who is probably either the favorite or the second choice today in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Cowboy Cal is the nation's 3rd-ranked third-crop sire. He won multiple graded stakes, earned over $1 million. He's the son of 3-time champion sire and emerging sire of sires Giants Causeway. For more on the Pin Oak Stands, call Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Down through the years, men's is a winning combination. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than 6 decades, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call at 859-255-9406. See the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lelis.
Right. Well, I've got Steve Moody with us today. And Steve, good morning.
Morning, Ursula.
Good racing yesterday.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to see the Breeders' Cup come back to its place of origin.
They say that Keeneland just did. I didn't go. I'm too old to go out there and fight that crowd. Anyway, I've heard reports from people out there that said that Keeneland did a marvelous job with it. That while the crowd was like the largest Friday crowd in history, but you wouldn't have known it because of the new facilities that they put up and so forth. So kudos to them, to Keeneland.
Yeah, I just sort of was hearing secondhand information over the TV and on social media, Twitter, that seemed like most people didn't have a problem. You know, the park and ride shuttle seemed to work fairly well, and that for all the huge crowd that they got in and out, and it wasn't too much trouble.
Well, that's great. Well, who's going to win the Classic? Who's going to beat American Pharoah? I know that's what you're going to do. You always want to beat the favorite.
Well, let's see. We've got, I guess now with Beholder scratching, we've got 9 in the Classic. $5 million, 3-year-olds and up, 1.25 miles. And, of course, American Pharoah was even bigger favorite now. He was 6-5 the morning line, and I think yesterday they were showing he was 4-5 the last time I looked at it. And I just don't think he's as fast as the older horses. You look at his figures this year beating the 3-year-olds, and then you look at the figures of the older horses. They're just, you know, they're just not up to that level. You know, he's been a great horse, and it would be obviously a great story if he wins and goes out, closes out his career as the first Triple Crown winner to win the Classic, to complete what they're calling the Grand Slam. But I think Toneless is where I'm. No, I don't think that's where I am going. I'm going to Toneless. This is a colt by Tappet that really never been better. I mean, he was a very sharp winner in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Came out of that race with some nice works. He's done his best. His best running has been at 10 furlongs, inside post, in the Classic. I don't think that'll be an issue. He's going to be forwardly placed. And, I think he's, to me, with the Velasquez on him, I think he's the one to beat. He's certainly, better price. He was 4-1, I believe, yesterday. In the early betting, obviously his price gets hurt by the fact that the Beholder is out. But that's where I'm going to go. The other horses to look at, I think, are Honor Code. He's come back off of the loss in the Kelso with some with sharp works for Suge McGahee. He's going to be running at the end. I'm a little bit concerned that he's going to, you know, will have too much to do. But if the pace is quick enough, obviously that'll help him. Smooth Roller. This is a lightly raced gelding, but he was very impressive last time. I wouldn't shock me if he jumped up there to get part of it. And FNX was, you know, he was very sharp this summer, had a big win in the Suburban. But a little bit tailed off after that. If he were to run back to his races in the Suburban, I think he would be a factor. Obviously, American Pharoah is going to be up close early. He's going to be the everybody's sentimental pick. But I just don't see it looking at the numbers, though, so I got to go with Toneless. And so we'll go I originally had Beholder second, but I guess we'll go one 1-4-9 in the Classic.
All right. Well, of course, everybody out here is interested in the sprint because, you know, Run Happy did all his training right here. How do you see that one, Steve?
Sprint's tremendous race. You know, it's one of the toughest races year in and year out. It always draws a full field, and no different than that this year. We've got 15 entered. There'll be 14 that'll run. This is extremely, extremely tough race. Run Happy was a huge winner back in August, winning the King's Bishop at Saratoga. Followed that up with a win opening a weekend at Keeneland and in the Phoenix Stakes. But there is so much speed in here, Ursel. It's just hard to fathom that you could battle in this race and still survive at the end. You know, when he won the King's Bishop, he didn't break right on top, but he was on the outside that day, and he got to the front probably within a 16th of a mile, and then this kept right on going. It's going to be I don't know. No way I can take 3-1 on him in this field. I want something that can be fairly close, but not on the lead. I went with a little bit of a price, horse on the outside, favorite tail. He can run on the lead, but he can also sit just off. And I think if he's sitting in there just off along the outside, tracking that blazing pace in here, that he might have the first jump at him, and maybe can sort of hit the line the right time, take over, and then beat the dead closers to the wire. A couple other ones I think that are worth looking at is the 10 Salutos Amigos. This is a 5-year-old gelding that's had a very solid year. He's going to be rolling late. Private Zone is always very tough. He's going to be one of the pace setters. But to me, he and Run Happy in there together. I just can't see how they both can be out there dinging and still hang around. A couple other ones to look at is Ben Colebrook's horse, Limousine Liberal, and another interesting one, a horse at a huge price, is the 6 horse Ivan Fall in Love a Lot, shipper from Remington Park. He's been running out in the Southwest. Calvin Burrell's got him. He's got the right running style. He's not, you know, class wise, this is a jump up for him. This horse can really run, and the running style I think fits really well for this race. He's a huge price, 30-1. I would not leave him out of my gimmick wagers. He actually was my long shot pick. If you want a, you know, really long shot, that would be him. But favorite tail is going to be my top pick. I went, let's see, 14, 14, 10, 13.
Okay.
In the sprint.
Don't have my horse in the money then.
Well,
I tell you what, what only thing that bothers me with him is that, he's not the greatest gate horse in the world. And if you make a mistake, you're dead.
Yeah, he's had issues. Like I said, he didn't break sharp in the King's Bishop, although he did get to the lead probably within a couple hundred yards. But that was a short field in the King's Bishop at Saratoga, and he was on the outside, so he didn't have to. It wasn't like he was in between horses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, it wasn't that short. That was a big field, but then he had a short field in the Phoenix, and, he didn't break particularly well there, but I think he just, you know, outclassed everybody. And, so it'll be a good story, just like, American Pharoah, but just tough to take that shorter price in that big of a field in that kind of a race with the pace scenario against him, at least in my eyes.
Okay, Steve. All right. Well, if you're right on favorite tail, that'll be two Tail of the Cats winning Breeders' Cup races. I think that would kind of please them down at Ashford Stud.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Yeah. This is obviously a big day for all the local breeders, you know, whoever wins, sires and whatever, they'll be ringing the cash register.
All right. Can you hang on for just a couple of minutes and I'll get you to do one more race with me?
And, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate it. I got a couple of catch up on my top of the hour commercials here. Well, Edina Springs has bred six Breeders' Cup champions. They're the leading breeder in Breeders' Cup history by earnings. They've bred two winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Beginning Wednesday, Edina Springs is offering more than 80 in full mares at Keeneland, all selling with 2016 no guarantee seasons to top Edina Springs stallions, including Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner, to sire Breeders' Cup Classic winner. You'll also find in full mares offered with no guaranteed seasons to Macho Uno, Mucho Macho Man, and Port of Entry. Champion Macho Uno, of course, is sired Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Mucho Macho Man. And he's also the sire Private Zone, who's going to be one of the favorites for today's Breeders' Cup sprint. He'll be right there. Mucho Macho Man, who came within a photo finish of winning the Breeders' Cup Classic twice, entered stud this year, and there are no guaranteed seasons available to him. And also to Point of Entry, winner of five Grade 1 stakes. Point of Entry's first foals are weanlings. Edina Springs has accumulated 8 Eclipse Awards as leading breeder, and the broodmares offered at Keeneland represent the bloodlines that have placed the name Edina Springs right at the top. For a closer look, go to Barn 29 in Keeneland.
Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, let me introduce you to Summer Front, the latest addition to the stallion ranks at Airdrie Stud. Summer Front, undefeated stakes winner as a 2-year-old. All told, he won 7 stakes, 4 graded, placed in 8 more, all graded, 5 grade 1, earned more than $1 million. Pedigree, he's got one. He's by War Front, certainly one of the and perhaps the best in this country, Sons of the Great Dancing. And he's out of Rose of Summer, dam also of grade 1 winner Laurent, and a daughter of Sire of Sires El Prado. As for confirmation, suffice it to say that Summer Front sold for $475,000 at auction as a 2-year-old. During his remarkable career, Summer Front was undefeated too, winning his debut at Belmont, stakes at Aqueduct and Gulfstream. Went on to win 7 stakes, graded stakes at Gulfstream, Belmont, Monmouth, and Calder, plus other stakes at Saratoga, with placings in grade 1 stakes at Belmont, 2 grade 1 stakes at Santa Anita, grade 1 stakes at Arlington, grade 1 stakes at Del Mar, and in graded stakes at Keeneland, Belmont, and Hollywood Park. Wherever he ran, he was the horse to beat. While in Kentucky for the sales, drive by Mr. and Mrs. Bird and see Jones Airdrie Stud and see Summer Front. Stands for $10,000 live foal, and keep in mind, that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursel Ellis.
All right, well, I've got Steve Moody with us, of course, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. All right, give me your best betting race today, Steve.
All right, Ursel, let's see here. I was just thinking about that. Let's go to the juvenile, 2-year-olds, the 2-year-old males, in the ninth race, mile and a 16th, $2 million purse, big field in here too, 16 entered, 14 of a run, the sort of the would-be favorite would have been Nyquist. No. I think if he'd have drawn a better post, but he drew 13. And, I mean, I don't like taking horses from the 9 or 10 hole going a mile and a 16th to Keeneland, much less than 13. So it doesn't – I'll have to pass on him, even though he's a perfect 4-for-4. I think under normal circumstances, Greenpoint Crusader would have been my pick. This is a Bernardini colt. Just keeps getting better and better. I think he'll love the stretch out to a mile and a 16th. I think he's the horse to beat, but I went with the horse right next to him, the 4 Unbridled Outlaw, Dale Romans. Mike Smith has the mount. This horse, if you go back and watch his race in the Iroquois, I mean, he just had a horrendous trip in there. He got, he was down on the inside. He got checked really hard going into the far turn. Got checked again coming out of the far turn, approaching the quarter pole. And yet, despite all the links he lost in those two, different spots, still came on to be third. And, I probably only beaten, I want to say maybe, 4 or 5 links for all of it. And, so I thought that was a big effort. He came out of that race. He's got a series of nice works. And, you see, it looks like he has every kind of license to, move forward today. 15-1 in the morning line. And, he's getting Mike Smith. I just think this is a really good spot for him. So that's where I'm gonna go in the juvenile, Greenpoint Crusader. As I mentioned, I think he is the horse to beat. If it weren't for the trouble that the other one had, that's probably would have been my pick. And then Nyquist, of course, unbeaten, but, bad post. So, we'll go 4-3-13 in the juvenile.
All right. UK or Tennessee?
Well, unfortunately, I got to go with that ugly, but ugly orange.
What's the spread? You would know.
I opened at 7. Somebody told me yesterday it was 8.5, but I haven't verified that. That's hearsay evidence.
Yeah, hearsay. Okay. So UK bites the dust, huh?
Unfortunately, I think that'll be the case. I hope it's not, but we've had obviously, you know, all kinds of trouble beating Tennessee, and their quarterback's the kind of quarterback that just gives us fit. So
yeah, I understand.
You know, I don't think so, but certainly hope so, but I just don't think so.
All right, Steve. Well, this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. That's published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, and you can find that. Go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. They've got them out of Keeneland. Most of the farm places where they sell daily racing forms here, you can buy it right there. So, Steve, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and good luck.
All right, you too, Ursel.
Oh, a Monday at Keeneland Claiborne Farm agent has a consignment worthy of your attention. Go to Barn 6 where you find Chuckling and Folder Painter, Chuckling by Indian Charlie, out of Pleasant Home, one of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup distaff, and over $1,378,000. On Parade and Folder Warfront, this is the dam of graded stakes winner parading. She's by Stormcat out of My Flag. Return to Paradise and Fool to Spite Stem. Return to Paradise is a stakes winner and a stakes class producer. Snooze and Fool to Kitten's Joy. Snooze is a half-sister to grade one stakes winner and millionaire. Imaging. Unbound is in Fool to Tears Now. Unbound is a stakes-winning daughter of distorted humor. Weanling, there's a weanling code by Declaration of War. It's his first crop. This one's out of a winning daughter of a champion. There's a weanling filly by Union Rags. That's a half-sister to a grade two stakes winner. And then there is Sweet Whiskey. She won a place in sixth grade at Sturks and earned over $500,000. A racing breeding prospect and three young breeding prospects. A daughter of Medallia Doro out of a stakes winner. A daughter of Street Cry out of a stakes winning AP Indy Mare. A half-sister by Bernie Dini to greatest stakes winner criminologist. Once again, they're in barn six, consigned by Claiborne Farm agent. And Claiborne Farm has been a long-time leader in the thoroughbred industry. I want to talk about my friend, Hill and Reagan Parker, who have a real estate agency here in Lexington. And their website is lexhorsefarms.com, great website. And if you need to go in there and browse and make your wish. But if you're looking for a farm, by golly, that's the place to go. Is to Hill and Reagan Parker. They are have been in the real estate business for over 20 years. I mean, excuse me, over 12 years. They're not that old. But anyway, they've got listings now in Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and more important, prices. And they can help you find just the perfect farm for you. Again, they're horse people themselves. They know what horse people want. If you're looking for a place, well, they'll find it for you, and they keep going till they do. They're nice people, people that you can trust. And they've got farms, as I said, right now, all over Central Kentucky listed for sale. Let me give you the phone number. It's 859 number, 608-8039. And their website is lexhorsefarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And when we go to sell our little farm one of these days, that's who we're going to, because we know we can trust them, and we'll just turn it over to them, and they'll get the job done like they always do. Well, if you're in the market for a top-flight breeding prospect, one with a proven stakes class and a pedigree to match, go to Barn 5 in the consignment of Pope McLean, Crestwood Farm agent. Hip number 62 is Fortune Pearl, one of the grade 2 Delaware Oaks. And over $347,000, she's been offered as a racing or breeding prospect. Go either way with her. Hip number 64 is Free as a Bird, a stakes winner at Keeneland, Belmont, Saratoga. She's 6 years old. She's earned over $576,000. 131 is a graded stakes winner. She's just a four-year-old. She's by Kitten's Joy, top sire. Hip number 173 is Rusty Slipper, 5. One graded stakes, placing grade one stakes, and all four have pedigrees loaded with graded stakes class. In the same consignment, you'll find weanlings by Kitten's Joy and Ghost Zapper and Violence and Looking at Lucky, all with superior black type pedigrees. Outstanding consignment from Pope McLean, Crestwood Farm agent. Once again, they're in Barn 5. There are more at Keeneland from the same consignment coming up in later sessions. The first to sell, however, is hip number 131 on Sunday, November 1, Fraser Tipton, and that's Taste Classy Lady. She's a four-year-old by Fleet Elix. She's a half-sister to Taste of Paradise, a grade one winner and millionaire that also placed in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Taste Classy Lady is in Fold to champion Shanghai Bobby from a February cover. For more on the farm, just call 859-252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
We're fine.
Yeah, KTA.
All right. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, KTA. Thank you.
And you never did the winners, like, you know, you do at the introduction, all that stuff.
Oh, that's all right. Weren't any.
Oh. Oops.
Open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah, right.
All right, here's winners from, well, I guess we'll give them yesterday first, and then we'll go back to last week. These are Kentucky bred winners of stakes races in the past week, I'll put it that way, of course. The Breeders' Cup Distaff winner was Stop Charging Maria. She won by neck. It was a wonderful race, as a matter of fact. And she is by Taylor the Cat, bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. The grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf winner, Catch a Glimpse by City Zip. Then by Branch Equine, the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner, Liam's Map, Good Lord, what a great race he ran. I didn't think he was ever going to get loose. He's some kind of a runner. He's an unbridled song, bred by the Albaugh family stables. I think he's, where's he going to stud? You saw that somewhere. I he was going to stud.
Just forgot it.
Forgot it too.
Somewhere here.
Somewhere here. And the Grade One Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner, Hit It a Bomb. That's a war front. Of course, he stands at Claiborne. He came from 14th in a field of 14, won by neck, and bred by Mrs. Evelyn Stockwell. The Grade Two Marathon Stakes at Keeneland winner. I missed this one on the show. I wish I'd watched it. I love these marathons. It was 1 3/4, and I didn't get to see it. And when it was Bailout Bobby, I love that name anyway. He's my Mizzen Mass, one of my favorite stud horses, and bred by Kirk and Debbie Wyckoff. Won by 5 1/4 lengths. And if it had gone a little bit further, he'd have won by more.
That Liam's map was going to Lane's End.
Going to Lane's End, Liam's map, okay. The Grade Two Fayette, race day won that. She's a Tappet. Bred by James Miller. The Bryan Station Stakes winner was a Tweed Kitten. Another one of those kittens, Joe's, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade 3 Trent Oak Valley View Stakes. Now, this is last week. Tiger Ride won that. It's a Candy Ride, bred by Dixiana Farm. The Twilight Derby out at Santa Anita went to OM by Munnings. Bred by Bernie Sams and Will Ferris Jr. And this is the, of course, Munning stands at Ashford Stud, and he's the only horse to beat American Pharoah prior to the his Triple Crown. The Big Bear Stakes at Santa Anita, Dortmund's return. Dortmund, of course, bred by Amelia Foyon. Millie bred Dortmund. How about that? My Trusty Cat Stakes at Delta Downs went to La Appassionata. Bernardini bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Spider John Stakes at Gulfstream winner, Lochte by Medallie Dole, bred by Mara Giddings. The Little Miss Magic Stakes at Gulfstream went to Kitten's Dumpling, Kitten's Joy. Another one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Boy, they've got more of those things than you know what to do with. Every stakes race, it looks like. The Labib Stakes at Woodbine winner was Glenville Gardens, a street cab read by Eugene Melling. The Harbor View, let me look at this real quick. Don't Mess with Kitten, another Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. That's three of them. My God almighty. What are you trying to do, Ken? Corner the market? The Canadian Juvenile Stakes at Northlands went to Awesome Slate by Summerbird, bred by Windstar Farm. The Princess of Palm Stakes. That's a sexy name, isn't it? Turf Paradise.
It is.
By Pollard's Vision, bred by John J. Greeley IV, Phil Houchins, and Dennis Bohannon, and Paul Wedge. And the David L. Zeke Ferguson Memorial Hurdle Stakes going 2 1/8 miles at Great Meadows. Where's Great Meadows, Jackie? Somewhere in Virginia, Maryland, one of those places? Great Meadows? I don't know. Anyway,
I thought it was in New Jersey.
Well, you're not going to believe it.
What?
But it's another Kitten's Joy bred by Ken and Sarah
Good
Ramsey.
Good night, nurse. Good night. Golly.
They even win its jump races. All right. Let me catch up on my commercials here. Well, yesterday, at Keenan, the Grade 2 $200,000 Marathon Stakes was won by Bill Ed Bobby, a 5-year-old, son of Mizzen Mass. He's bred by Kirk and Debbie Wyckoff. He won by 5 1/4 lengths. Of course, Mizzen Mass has sired the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. He has 2 starters going to Breeders' Cup races this year. He's also sired 7 Grade 1 winners. So keep that in mind when you see a weanling or a mare in foal to Mizzen Mass enter the sales ring at the upcoming sales of live weanling. Didn't have to be in foal, Jackie. Then when you see a weanling or a mare in foal to First Defense, remember that First Defense sired an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop, no less, and a steady possession of stakes winners ever since. So Mizzen Mass and First Defense both stand at Judmont Farm. Mizzen Mass offers an outstanding outcross to Northern Dancer, Mr. Prospector, and Bold Ruler Line mares. First Defense is by Unbridled Song out of Honest Lady, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seattle Slough. And she's a half-sister of the classic winner and top sire, Empire Maker. Empire Maker is the sire of Pioneer of the Nile. Of course, the Pioneer of the Nile, the sire of American Pharoah. And Empire Maker is coming back to Kentucky. First defense, a grade one winner and a grade one sire record as well. For more on the Judmont Stallions, call Gary DeWorker Aaron Friday, 859-272-7629, and see the website, judmont.com. Yesterday at Keeneland, the grade one, $1 million Breeders' Cup juvenile, Turf, went to Hit It a Bomb, raised at Ashford Stud for Mrs. Evelyn Brown. Four of the nine starters in today's Breeders' Cup Classic were raised on products from Macaulay Brothers, as was, of course, Hit It a Bomb. It's kind of a hard name to say, isn't it? Hit It a Bomb.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a war front. Four of the nine Breeders' Cup Classic starters were raised on Macaulay products. Okay. Of course, there are horses on raised on Macaulay products are competing in 13 of the 14 Breeders' Cup races. So good luck to all of them. The stakes last weekend, the Big Bear at Santa Anita went to Dortmund, bred by Amelia Foyon, raised at her Bonaterra farm. Dortmund won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby earlier this year. He's earned over $1.6 million. At Gulfstream, the Spider John Stakes went to Loch Tee, raised at Darby Dam for breeder Mara Giddings. And the My Trusty Cat Stakes at Delta Downs went to La Passionata, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. So far this year, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 170 stakes, 85 of them graded stakes, 31 grade one. If you want to compete at the highest level, just go to the Macaulay Brothers. Contact Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at MacaulayBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Daily racing form. By golly, don't have my Sunday edition left, but it wasn't down there, was it? Well, there was enough reading in yesterday's to last forever. Today's, I say. If you didn't get today's racing form, go get one. Because, I mean, it's a terrific edition of the Daily Racing Form. Of course, every Daily Racing Form is the handicapper's Bible and the horseman's Bible as far as that goes. I got a handicapper over here on my left now. Charlie McDaniel's over there. He even picked one of my horses to win once. You know, he's a hell of a handicapper.
Yes.
To pick one of mine to win. But you use a racing form, don't you, Charlie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He said yes, sir.
There you go.
Okay, all right. Well, it's the most trusted name in racing as it is right now. And here's what I want you to do, though, to get the breeding edition. Go to drf.com/breeding update. And sign up today. Let me give that to you again. drf.com/breeding update. And it is always good, informative articles in there. And, of course, in the Tuesday edition, they give you all the North American stakes results. Most comprehensive stakes report available anywhere for owners and breeders. All black type stakes in North America included, including pedigree, detailed progeny reports on the female family and information on the winning sire. Visit dailyracingform.com/breeding and you can get that. So Daily Racing Form, I can't do without it. I've got mine right here on my left, the Saturday edition, but they're a little slow getting the Sunday one out today for some reason. But anyway. Go to and pick up your copy of today's and tomorrow's Daily Racing Form.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
Pardon?
What are you
going to
do?
What am I going to do? That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. I've got something I want to read that was written by Bill Knack. And we're talking about great racehorses and... he'd been asked how great. Well, let me read it to you. And how do you label a horse great and not great? But anyway, I think this was written and published in Equus Magazine. What edition was this? The November edition. Yeah. And anyway, it was talking about American Pharoah and how good a racehorse he was and so forth like that. So let me read this to you. This is Bill Knack. Of course, Bill been around forever. He wrote the definitive book on Secretariat, followed Secretariat around all through his career. And he goes back a long way, let's put it that way. Well, no sooner had an American Pharoah strolled out of the Belmont Park Winter Circle last June 6th, the 12th and newest winner of the American Triple Crown, the first to wear the laurel wreath in 37 years, than I began receiving urgent messages from around the country asking me how the Colts' performance measured up against that of Secretariat's in 1973 or Seattle Slew's 4 years later, or Firm's a year after that. American Pharoah proved his greatness today, wouldn't you say? Breathed one correspondent. How does he stack up against the other greats you have seen? Asked another. 2 months later, the band was still playing, with NBC's Tom Hammond suggesting, in the broadcast of the Haskell Invitational, that any horse who wins the Triple Crown had to be considered a great horse. Is that so? I've been a student of thoroughbred racing since the glorious day in 1955, when Swaps beat back a desperate charge in Nashville to win the Kentucky Derby. Over the ensuing 60 years, I would see nearly all the great dazzlers of the American turf, from Roundtable and Kelso to Cigar and Rachel Alexander, and relish them all while judging them according to their lights. One thing is certain, I would not judge American Pharoah by any standard I am familiar with to be a great racehorse. I was taught early on by old-timers and turf riders, especially the eloquent Daily Racing Form columnist Charles Hatton, that the word great is not to be tossed about lightly, like ground pepper on a dinner salad when describing racehorses. As I told one of the many commentators who sought my view of American Pharoah's greatness, I have no idea how good he is, and no real clue as to his place in history. He has yet to show his mettle under fire. The word great was sacrosanct in the schedules that I haunted as a young man. Example 1. Hatton and John M. Gaver Sr., the Hall of Fame trainer at the storied Green Tree Stud, were sipping whiskers with a few other old-timers, horsemen, in Gaver's office one day in the late 1950s, when someone mentioned the great handicap horse Tom Fool. Under Gaver, the handsome bay had won 10 of 10 races in 1953, all stakes, including the dawning New York Handicap Triple Crown, the Metropolitan Mile and the Suburban and the Brooklyn Handicaps, while carrying from 128 to 136 pounds, substantial burdens even in those days. Tom Fool was so dominant that his last four victories in the Wilson, the Sisonby, the Whitney, and the Pimlico Special were run without wagering. At year's end, he beat out the immortal Grey Ghost Native Dancer for Horse of the Year honors. In discussion of Gaver's office that day, it turned to equine greatness, the indubitable giants such as Man of War, Count Fleet, and Citation. And one of the horsemen raised the name of Tom Fool. Now, he was a great racehorse, don't you think? Gaver thought for a moment, hadn't recalled, and finally said, well, he certainly was a very good racehorse. Example 2. Hatton rode his racing column in a private booth high above the press box at Belmont Park, and I found him there one afternoon in early 1973. He was still sitting at his typewriter long after he had finished his column. I asked him what he was doing so late. I'm answering a letter, he said. A man asked me to name 5 great racehorses of the century. Now, Hatton had seen Old Rosebud win the Kentucky Derby in 1914 by 8 lengths in record time, and had spent the next 60 years at the races watching champions come and go. 5 great racehorses, I said. That shouldn't be any problem for you. You'd think so, Charlie said. I can only think of 4. So, such were the standards observed in an hour of the American turf, as faded in memory now as the streetcar, the Stetson hat, back when a horse had to flash bolts of unmistakable brilliance, as Old Rosebud did, or repeatedly crush or dominate his foes, as Man of War did, to even be considered great. So I was reduced to answering questions about American Pharoah with such unseemly squirming as, the Belmont was a fine performance, and I loved to watch the horse run, He's such a beautiful mover. And I laud his talent, his versatility, his consistency, and so on and on. I feared the ghosts of Gaver and Hatton would strike me down if I dared to go any further. American Pharoah has not yet proven himself to be a great horse, certainly not by their standard, not even by my own less rigorous measures. No one can deny that in sweeping the Triple Crown, he pulled off the most difficult feat in the sport, among the toughest of all sports. And this is an era when horses are not bred to run 12 furlongs or even 10. So he is now the 12th member of an exclusive club, stretching from Sir Barton to a firm. But to earn his Triple Crown, it must be pointed out, American Pharoah enjoyed three perfect trips, each marked by a loping early pace, and he was never subjected to the kind of pressure that either defeats or brings out the best in a racehorse. I found myself asking, was this not the luckiest Triple Crown winner ever? Before the Preakness, in the dining room at Pimlico, I saw trainer Bob Baffert pacing nervously. It was an hour to post time. The sky was a gathering roil of clouds. Boy, I hope it rains, Bob said. My horse loves the mud. Alas, 10 minutes before post time, as if Providence had heard Baffert's prayer, the sky unleashed a deluge that turned the track into chocolate mousse. Of course, American Pharoah won as he pleased in the easiest of victories. Eerily enough, 10 minutes later, the race high winds whisked the clouds away and out came the sun over Pimlico. Thank you, Lord.
That's great.
That was great. Whether you agree with him or not, it's great. He's got more. I'm going to come back to it. Just let me catch up on my commercials here. This is Breeders' Cup weekend, of course. Good luck to all participants. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile over a select field, getting the distance in a brilliant 1:33.2. That same year, he set a new track record for mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar, and he went on to win the Grade 1 Don at Gulfstream. He placed in three more graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Goodwood, retiring with earnings of more than $1,328,000. Now his first foals to race are two-year-olds, and he's sired a stakes winner and another that is placed in graded stakes, so he's off to a solid start in stud. To breed to Albertus Maximus, call Stallion Manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and be sure to ask about breeding incentives to the Shadwell Stallions. Albertus Maximus, Grade 1 winner, proven to graded sire, De Her by Awesome Again, and graded winner and brilliantly fast Intadab, sire of graded stakes winners at and a terrific source of speed. All three stand at Shadwell Farm. So once again, call Kent at 859-224-4585 and take a look at the website, shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand, go to Brissette.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, Brissette.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. Race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit Brissette.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, take charge. Andy has a pedigree that defies comparison. He's the son of one of the all-time greats, AP Andy, Horse of the Year, Champion 3-0, Classic winner, great sire. His dam is Take Charge Lady, winner of 8 graded stakes, 3 grade 1, and of over $2,480,000. He is a half-brother to Will Take Charge, champion 3-0, winner of more than $3,924,000, and also to the dam of Take Charge Brandy, winner of the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and of nearly $1,700,000. Fantastic pedigree. Take Charge Indy lived up to it. He won the grade 1 $1 million Florida Derby. Derby won a place in 7 graded stakes, ranked among the best of his age at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced, and he earned $1,103,496. Retired to stud, Take Charge Indy covered 145 mares in his first season, and his first foals are now weanlings. Be sure to look over those offered at the November sales, and for more information on the Windstar Stallions, contact Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717, and check the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursel Ellis.
All right, Bill Knack had a little more to write about not only American Pharoah, but about past great horses, and I'm going ahead and read that. He's going to write right now about the Triple Crown winners of the 1970s. Of the Triple Crown winners I have seen, the one American Pharoah most resembles is the brilliantly fast Seattle Slough, a true miler whose competition in the three races was so mediocre that his trainer, Billy Turner, had the luxury of sending him on long, slow gallops to get him off the muscle and prepare him to race longer than he really wanted to go. As an aside here now, for American Pharoah, if he goes on to be the kind of stud of Seattle Slough, that would please everybody. He won all at three, but the Derby and the Belmont special were running trotting horse time. It was not until he got to his four-year-old year when he defeated far superior horses while carrying high weights that his true greatness became evident. That year, he absolutely crushed, turn the pages here, the three-year-old Triple Crown winner, affirmed in the 1978 Marlboro Cup, vaulting to the lead and out of the gate and winning by three lengths and 145-3, only two ticks off Secretariat's World Mark. 2 weeks later, he galloped off in a mile and a quarter Woodward Stakes, winning by four over Exceller in 2 minutes flat. Finally, in the race for which he is probably best remembered, the mile and a half Jockey Club Gold Cup, Slough got caught in a speed duel with a firm, threw six furlongs in 109-2, looked like dead horse walking at the top of the stretch, but simply wouldn't yield when Exceller tried to drive past him in the upper stretch. Eventually, Exceller nudged ahead, but Slough came back and was actually gaining on Exceller in the final yards, only to lose it by the flare of a nostril. It was a gutsy, grand, magnificent performance, the signature flourish of a great racehorse. The four-year-old Slough was the second greatest racehorse I ever saw. Secretariat remains simply nonpareil. An original whom a dying Hatton once described as the most capable racehorse I have ever seen. That's an odd description. Capable racehorse I've ever seen. You know why I said capable? Because, you know, he turned in some brilliant performances. You know, his Triple Crown races. Of course, the Belmont, I don't think anything could have beaten him that day. At any time, probably. That was a capable, more than capable performance. But that's an odd description for the horse. Of course, he was beaten by seven horses during his career, finished in front of him, which makes me worry a little bit about it, you know. And, of course, he set a new track record and all the three Triple Crown races. However, they had to readjust the time for the Preakness to give him the track record that day, which makes you go back to 1913 Suburban when Whisperum II was timed by the official clock of that day in 2 minutes flat for a mile and a quarter. And everybody came to him, saying, hey, with wait time, we didn't get him in that. We got him in 202 and something, 200, five or six people, and said, well, that's good. I'm glad you all got him in that. Says, but mine counts. That was the official clocker. But anyway, but, that was those were brilliant performances by Secretary, no less, you know. Reminds me, though, you know, there's a difference between a brilliant performance and true greatness. I remember in the Olympics back in the late 1960s, the broad jump when it was down in Mexico, they had the Olympics that year, and a kid named Beamer, I can remember his last name, broke the world record for the broad jump by about a foot and a half. And when they announced the time, he just collapsed. Yeah. Now, that was a great performance, but was he a really great athlete? You know? He did that one thing.
For that couple of seconds, he was.
He was at that moment. But anyway, also he named Count Fleet as an all-time great. Now, I did a show once with John H. Clark, Trader Clark, many years ago. And we were talking about the greatest horses he had ever seen. And I named the one I thought was probably the greatest I'd seen. And his greatest was Count Fleet. And I got to thinking about that later on. I didn't want to argue with John Clark. My goodness, it'd be like arguing with the Pope about religion, you know. Yeah. But anyway, Yeah, you look at his record, and he won the Triple Crown, but he never ran after the Belmont. So you don't know what was going to happen then. He was the easy winner of all three races, but all he had to beat was Blue Swords in all three. Blue Swords never won much else, you know. And then he was beaten twice as a two-year-old by the same horse. Occupation beat him twice. And so I often wondered about him, you know. But anyway.
Well, and there's so many other factors. Good grief. The track, the weather.
Yeah.
And on and on and on. You know, you just, it's hard to.
Well, here's where I agree with Bill Knack on this. I don't agree with all these things he's saying, but you know, it's this. He says, the first great racehorse I ever encountered was Swaps.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I think he was probably the best racehorse I ever saw. I was on hand, it's getting back to Bill. I was on hand in Chicago in the summer of 1956 when he won the Washington Park Mile in 1:33.2. His sixth track record, set in a year in which he also broke four world records, three of them at Hollywood Park. He turned for home that day after six furlongs in a sensational 1:07.4. His eyes afire as he plunged through the gloaming, and jockey Eddie Arcaro had to look twice when he glanced over from Summertan and saw that Bill Schumacher had Swaps' neck bowed. I couldn't believe it, Arcaro once told me. He looked like he was running easily in 1:07.4. Oh, he said Swaps was a great racehorse. I saw a few others along the way. Round Table, the champion of the late 1950s, was like a perfectly tuned clock who kept left the gate and went tick-tock, tick-tock for a mile and a quarter, as at home on the dirt, as on the grass. Nor is there any denying the greatness of the Grand Gelding Kelso, five-time Horse of the Year in the 1960s, of those other champions from that decade, Buck Passer, Damascus, Dr. Fager. Ruffin was the greatest two-year-old filly I ever saw, by far. Forgo and John Henry, the two greatest geldings. And there have been, and there has there ever been a four-year-old since Tom Fool, who had a year like 1979, Kentucky Derby winner's spectacular bid, who went 9-for-9 in 1980 and ended the season with a walkover in the Woodward Stakes at Belmont Park. Since Spectacular Bid left the scene, and with the once rich American thoroughbred Gene Poole seriously drained by Irish, Arab, and Japanese buyers seeking to breed the finest and most valuable horses in the world, great horses have grown rarer on the American racing scene. In 1989, Kentucky Derby winner Sunday Silence won the Breeders' Cup Classic like a great racehorse, beating the gifted Easy Gore by neck and racing a mile and a quarter of Gulfstream in 2 minutes and 1/5 of a second. Well, he goes on to write about a lot of other things on there, but I thought it was very interesting that, you know, that...
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If you could bring him back, Man of War and Secretariat, a mile and a quarter, and you schooled Secretariat at the gate, who would you bet on?
Oh, well, you know me. I've got a bias there.
Man of War. That answers it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I don't think anything ever could touch that horse.
Well,
I mean, they had to box him in to beat him.
You know that Hatton had seen them both race. So uh-huh. That is a description of Secretary as the most capable horse. Also, someone else who had written it, race said Abe Hewitt. He had seen both horses.
Yeah.
You know. And he wrote about Man of War, just a sent paragraph here. I got time and then I'll do my spendthrift commercial, okay?
Making nervous.
And this is what he had to say. At irregular intervals, sometimes spaced many years apart, horses appear on the turf that have an electrifying effect on racing men. The blood surges and the pulses quicken at the very sight of such Olympians on the track, and this reaction is not strictly related to racing performances. In France, Czar, 1918, had it so that it was a national disaster whenever he was beaten. which happens a few times. Native dancer had it, and in recent times, Secretariat had it. Going back further, Colin, 1905, had it, and the writer listened to old-time horsemen talk about him with an otherworld expression on their faces. Man of War was the first great racehorse the author ever saw perform. We can still remember vividly the first time we ever saw him. It was Fortuity Day at Belmont. In order to be sure to get a good look at Man of War, we left the stands early. In those days, there were large trees in the Belmont paddock, as well as clumps of laurel. Rounding out the laurel bushes, one was flanked by tall trees whose branches nearly met overhead, like a Gothic arch. Underneath this arch stood, framed by the dark shadows behind, a chestnut colt with ears pricked. He radiated majesty, energy, and power, a veritable Alexander, awaiting the moment for new worlds to conquer. That was 55 years ago, and we never saw such a sight again.
Exactly. Perfect.
All right. Spendthrift Farm. Where's my commercial? October 25, at Woodbine, the $150,000 Fan Fluché Stakes was won by Tis Imaginary, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by Tisway. Tis Imaginary is 2-for-2. Won her debut on October 4 at Woodbine by nearly 3 lengths, serving notice that she was a good one. In the Fan Fluché, she broke early, forced the early pace, then drew away to win by widening 2 lengths at the direct expense of Holy Flame, a daughter puppet, with the street boss filly Get Rhythm third. Tis Imaginary is the second stakes winner from Tisway's first crop. His Away We Go is one of the Jamestown Stakes at Law. And Tis a Runner, never out of the money in 4 starts, is placed in 3 stakes. All at Woodbine, the Grade 3 Gray Stakes, the Swinford Stakes, and the Colin Stakes. Tisway ran one of the fastest dirt miles in history the day he won the Grade 1 Metropolitan, 1:32.4. Also won the Grade 1 Whitney Invitation and the Grade 2 Kelso for earnings of more than $1,359,000. The son of the great Tiz now, he stands for $10,000 doing a full stanza of nurses, and he's eligible for Spendthrift's popular breed Secure Pro. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
All righty. Well, let's see, but of course they're running a couple other stakes today besides, believe it or not, besides the Breeders' Cup stakes. And up in New York, they are running the Bold Ruler. It's a Grade 3 race for 3 years and up, going 7 furlongs, drawn a field of six. And in Woodbine, they're running the Maple Leaf Stakes, Grade 3 race, drawn a field of 10, and it's with a pot of $150,000 for 3 year-olds and up. Phillies and mares going 1.25 miles. I'm waiting to hear that music down there.
Well, this show will be put up on
Ursel Ellis Horse Tales, along with all the other shows. If you find it, the best way to do Google, it's ERCELLIS, and it pops up Horse Tales.
Okay. I'll go to iHeartRadio and get it.
And iHeartRadio is even better. And next is Cameron Mills.
Yeah. Cameron Mills up next, his show. And they're playing. There goes Roy.
Roy and Dale.
Roy and Dale singing. So thank you, David, down at the studio. Robert down there. I guess we're Robert.
And Ressie.
And Ressie right here. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you all
right
next
now,
week.
The Home Depot at Pergo XT Helioc Laminate.